Good morning. Welcome to our podcast, Home Visiting Conversations, which has been developed by the University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Consultation Team with the support of the New Mexico Early Childhood Education and Care Department. I am your host, Rachel Morsbach, a University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Consultant. And I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Rachel Williams, DDS, about pediatric oral health, what parents should know. Dr. Williams works at a children's dental clinic in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and is the mother of five children. Good morning, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for offering your time and expertise today to support families in New Mexico in regards to their little ones' teeth. I'm looking forward to learning all about what you have to share with us today. Should we go ahead and dive in?
Absolutely, let's do it.
All right. During our time together, we would love home visitors in New Mexico and parents of young children to learn about, number one, why baby teeth are important and how to take care of them better. And number two, how to prevent cavities and what we should understand about bottle and pacifier use.
Perfect. Well, I am really happy to discuss these issues because they're so important. And as I work with children and their parents in the clinic, I've noticed that these are really the three most common issues that we run into. So what I want to do is start with just the basics. Why are baby teeth even important anyway? Don't they just fall out in a few years? I have a lot of people ask me this, and it's a legitimate question because they do fall out. So in a nutshell, baby teeth play an important role in a lot of the essential functions of childhood. So a lot of the things that happen in early childhood development are connected actually to their mouth and teeth. So first of all, children need to learn how to speak properly. If their teeth and tongue are in the wrong place or they're not there, it's difficult for them to learn some of those sounds, you know, like the TH sound, the th sound. If you don't have your front teeth there, it's a lot harder to learn that sound. If you have a lip tie or a tongue tie, for example, that can cause problems not only with feeding, you know, when they're early infants, but also in their speech development. So number two, we really want to make sure that children develop good eating habits. So same thing. If they don't have back teeth and they can't chew, it's pretty hard to get them to eat their broccoli and carrots. Okay, so number three, decay on baby teeth can really easily spread to the developing adult teeth. Even when the developing adult teeth are still inside the jawbone, if infection, abscesses from baby teeth are present, they can actually spread to those adult teeth. And we obviously don't want that because they're right next to each other in the jaw. Another thing is that the baby teeth actually hold space for the grown-up teeth. So as the jaw grows, those little teeth, they're kind of like placeholders for those big teeth that come in. So if we lose the baby teeth way too early, what happens is those grown-up teeth kind of grow forward and kind of smush together and cause a lot of crowding and other issues, which, you know, make it almost a guarantee that the child is going to need braces. And, you know, that's obviously a big expense and a problem and difficult for parents sometimes to afford. And plus it makes it a lot more difficult for those kids to take care of their teeth. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the main reasons why baby teeth are important. The other thing I want to point out is that we obviously want our kids to do well in school, and tooth problems lead to school problems. It leads to lost work time for parents too, because they've got to take their kids in for those toothaches. And I can share just a few data points with you. Students with toothaches were almost four times more likely to have a low grade point average than those without toothaches.
Wow.
This is from the American Journal of Public Health. They did a study in 2012. Just getting the data about this. About 11% of students with inaccessible needed dental care missed school, compared with 4% of those with access. So the kids that didn't have a dentist or didn't have a way to get to dentist missed school a lot more often because their teeth were hurting and they couldn't focus. Parents lost 2.5 days per year on average because of their children's dental problems. So that obviously affects the whole family. So the last thing, and this is really important, is that, you know, when little kids have yucky looking teeth, it can affect their self-esteem.
Right.
And, you know, we don't need to even go into all the problems we're having right now with mental health these days. And so, you know, this matters. It matters how baby teeth look. And, you know, just the other day, I replaced two little tiny white crowns on a little girl. She's about 5 years old. Just the cutest thing. But, you know, those crowns, the white part had fallen off. So it looked really dark and black and she kind of had that pirate look. And so her classmates were actually bullying her because of how her teeth looked. And so I replaced those crowns so they looked all white and pretty, even though she's going to lose those teeth probably within the next year, because mm-hmm. it matters. That year is important for her to feel good about how her smile looks. So I thought that was important.
Right. And that, you know, being five and experiencing that so early on, having to get all that dental work done and like you said, that socialization, that bullying that took place because of that, it's so wonderful that you were able to help her and get her to a place of feeling, you know, more confident about herself. And so how can we help take care of those baby teeth better so you don't have to do that kind of work on a little one?
Great, great question. And that's really the good news. There's a lot of good news here because there's so many things that we can do to prevent major problems. So what I want to do is just kind of take a step back and discuss what causes cavities. Because, you know, most people know, okay, sugar's bad. We should brush, we should floss. But I like to explain it a little bit in a more detailed way so that it makes a little bit more sense why we ask people to do the things we ask them to do. So this is kind of how I explain it to my little patients and their parents. So we all have sugar bugs in our mouth and it's bacteria. And what they do is they sit around in our mouths and they wait for the leftovers that we leave in our mouths after we eat or drink. And the sugar bugs, they eat any carbohydrate, which includes sugar and sweets, of course, and sugary drinks, but it also includes crackers, milk, whole grain bread, anything, even if it's healthy, that has carbohydrate in it. Mm-hmm. So what they want is the carbs to sit on our teeth long enough so they can sit and have their picnic and eat all those yummy carbohydrates. And then when they're done eating, they spit acid out onto our teeth.
Oh, wow.
So the acid dissolves our teeth and eventually it turns into a cavity. That's basically how cavities work. So knowing that, how do we prevent the cavities from forming? Well, we don't give the sugar bugs any food for their picnic, okay? And they especially love having their, you know, picnics or parties at nighttime. So rule number one, we never go to sleep with any food in our mouths, okay? So brush before bed and floss, okay? Really important. Number two, so sugar bugs have lots of babies overnight. That's what I tell my patients. They have lots of babies, and they do. They, you know, the bacteria proliferate in the mouth. Right. So that's why we have that gross morning breath the next morning, is because we have, you know, this whole bunch of these bacteria that grew overnight. So same thing. After you have your breakfast, brush those sugar bugs away. Now you understand a little bit better why.
Yes, I love that. That makes so much sense. And it's, you know, easy to understand just picturing those little sugar babies. I love that. It's great. So as we know, children are resistant to lots of things. So what if a child doesn't want to brush or like to brush and resists their caregiver asking them to brush?
Right. That's a great question. And I get that a lot, you know, in the clinic, the parents or grandparents will say, they just don't want to, they just, you know, they don't like it when I brush their teeth. And so, you know, I tell them, you know, you've just got to do the Nike principle. You got to just do it. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you need to hold them down to brush their teeth, yes, you should. And sometimes I say, look, when you have their babies and they have a yucky diaper, you know, they don't like it sometimes and they don't want to sit still while you change their diaper, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. And this is just, there's no difference between changing a poopy diaper and brushing those sugar bugs away because they can do just as much damage. We wouldn't just not change a diaper because they don't like it. So my advice to parents is, you know, if they are fighting you, you know, what works really well actually is to sit down on the floor, hold your child in your lap, and then kind of pull their head down into your lap. So you're kind of behind them. That way you can kind of cradle their head and, you know, kind of hold their head safely in your arm. And then you can come from behind and brush. And it's a little bit easier to do that than to be in front of them. And they're like moving their head around and bobbing around, and it's hard to get that toothbrush in there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're kicking and screaming. With my own kids, I definitely did this. I definitely sat on the floor. I sometimes had to put my legs over their body to, you know, to hold them still. Sometimes if you really have a fighter, you have to use two people if you can. But I guess my big point is you've got to do it. Even right. if it's a fight, it's right. not yeah. fun. You know, with my kids, after a little while, they got the point. Mom's mm-hmm. going to do this no matter what. So they just finally, you know, gave in and they just let me do it. So that's my advice. You know, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's the brushing part. Everybody knows you need to brush, you know, morning and night. I think we've covered that. But now I want to talk about diet, because diet is as important, if not even more important, to pay attention to when we want to prevent cavities. So here are my Dr. Williams rules for reducing your risk for cavities. So rule number one is nothing but water in between meals. So remember that soda, juice, anything that's to drink that isn't water other than milk is a dessert. Yes, that includes apple juice, orange juice. Fruit juice is not healthy for your body. It is not good for your teeth. It's a dessert. So that means that it should only be consumed occasionally. That means about once a week or less. Okay. None of this stuff should be every day. Now, a lot of the parents, they say, well, I dilute it. I dilute the apple juice because they like to drink it. I say, well, it still has carbohydrates in it. It's still sugar and it's still bathing your teeth. Even right. though there's less of it, it's still doing it. So I really would recommend that you don't drink anything but water in between meals. Now, obviously we break the rules sometimes. I told this to my patients, look, when I go to the movies, I will probably have a soda and popcorn too, even right. though it's against right. my rules. But this is just something that we do occasionally, right? It's not every day.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally, you know, we kind of bend the rules a little bit, but every day we need to follow these rules, you know, more or less pretty well. Okay. So the other rule is that we need to avoid eating very frequently. So the more often you eat, the higher the risk for cavities.
Okay.
So I would recommend for babies and toddlers, you would have a maximum of 2 short snack times. That would be appropriate. You know, little kids, they always say they're hungry. My kids do. They say, I'm hungry. Well, they're not really hungry. They just, you know, snacks are fun. They're yummy. And in my experience, at least with my 5 children, if they eat a lot of snacks, they're just not going to eat their dinner. So,
right.
so, and I totally get it. I have to, you know, I catch my kids sneaking into the pantry and all that. And, you know, grownups like to snack too. We're all, you know, guilty of that sometimes, but it really is better if we don't snack in general.
Right.
Older kids that are school age, I would say 1 snack time a day is more than adequate, and okay. keep it short. You know, if you have kind of a late dinner, I think an after school snack is appropriate, but don't let them have free range of the pantry all afternoon, because they're probably going to just raid it all afternoon.
Yes, they will.
If they're anything like my kids.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, that's such good information about cavities. I don't know if I've ever really thought about how often we eat can affect our cavities, getting more cavities. I don't think I ever really thought about that. And you talked about juice a little bit, but can you give us some guidelines on milk and bottles, and what about using pacifiers? I think that is something that a lot of parents have questions about is how does that affect teeth, cavities, things like that?
Sure thing. Yeah, I would say that probably our number one problem with infants and toddlers is a condition called early childhood caries, which is just the term for a really little kid who has a lot of cavities. So it's also been referred to as bottle rot, which is kind of a yucky term, but basically it's what happens when babies fall asleep with a bottle of milk or juice in their mouth, and the milk or the juice pools around their teeth for hours and hours. And then remember those sugar bugs that are hanging out, they go to town and they gorge themselves on the milk. They spit out tons of acid, and it just bathes those cute little baby teeth all night long in that acid, and it just dissolves those teeth away. And what's even worse is that it's usually the front teeth that get dissolved. So obviously this can lead to pain. It can lead to black, decayed teeth. And, you know, unfortunately, these are usually really, really little kids, 2, 3 years old. And it's obviously pretty impossible for us to treat that without taking them to the hospital, having them go under general anesthesia and putting, you know, crowns on all their teeth. So it's kind of a major deal. And obviously there are risks associated with general anesthesia. So, you know, anything I can do to prevent that, I would be thrilled. So, and sometimes we can't even save the teeth at all. We have to just pull them out. Oh. And then it gets really hard for them to learn that sound, you know, when they get older.
Right.
So it's really sad. And you know, I just, you know, it makes me cry. I want to cry every time I see it. But so how do we prevent that? Number one, you cannot let a baby fall asleep with a bottle if it has milk in it. And this is a really big deal. You know, I know how hard it is to get your babies to fall asleep at night. I've had 5 babies and I get it. You know, it's late. You just want your kid to fall asleep. And so you give them that bottle and, you know, let them fall asleep. But I really can't emphasize enough how important it is to not teach your babies to fall asleep with the bottle. So what you've got to do, and there's some other reasons too. So for example, and this is true whether you breastfeed or bottle feed. Okay. Breast milk is very healthy for babies, of course, but it's still milk and it still has carbohydrates in it, and the sugar bugs will still eat it. So if you breastfeed, you need to finish feeding, unlatch the baby, burp the baby, and put the baby down so they learn how to fall asleep without being attached to a nipple. Okay. Same thing with a bottle. They need to finish their bottle, take the bottle out of the mouth, burp the baby, put them down. Now, this training happens before the baby even has any teeth. This is early infancy.
Right.
So once their teeth come in, usually around, you know, 6 months or so is when teeth start to come in. They've already learned their sleeping patterns. And so it's very difficult to change it when they've already learned, okay, the only way I fall asleep is with a bottle. So I would rather have them fall asleep with a pacifier than with a bottle with milk in it. So if you're really struggling, you know, to get your baby down without, you know, having the sucking reflex, I would recommend taking out the bottle and switching it with a pacifier. Okay. And definitely make sure that they're burped and then put them in their bed. And that habit started really early will really help to prevent these problems. So, the other thing is that it's actually perfectly fine for them to fall asleep with water. So with nothing in it, no juice, not even diluted, definitely not. Okay. So, but water is completely fine. In fact, if they have water that has fluoride in it, that's actually going to be helpful for their protective against cavities. So I mentioned about how pacifiers are fine when they're falling asleep. And really, if you use an orthodontic pacifier, which it'll say on the package, whether it's orthodontic or not, you can use that until about 18 months of age. So I would recommend trying to keep it to mostly just sleeping time and not all day long. You know, sometimes they need a little comfort sometimes, but if it's in their mouth all day long, that's going to probably make it really hard at 18 months to take it away. But yeah, so about 18 months, we really want to be done with anything that's a nipple, you know, whether it's a bottle or a pacifier, because it can start affecting the jaw growth actually and lead to orthodontic problems and stuff. So but you can use sippy cups.
Okay.
You can use straw cups. You can use sippy cups up until about age 3 is totally fine. And by that point, they should be able to start learning how to use a regular cup just fine.
Mm-hmm.
let's see, I mentioned that, you know, breastfeeding is still milk. And so just, you know, make sure that when your baby's done, that you take the baby off the breast. I know sometimes, you know, we feed at night, but it's really important to make sure the baby's off the breast and, you know, unlatched before sleeping for hours. Just stay well, like long enough to just get that baby unlatched. Okay. All right. So anyway, all those things. So just to recap, don't fall asleep with a bottle. A bottle of water is fine. Pacifiers are fine. Up until 18 months old, around age one, start to move away from bottles and go to sippy cups. And make sure that when you're breastfeeding, you unlatch. And if you do those things and do the brushing, then you are going to be significantly less likely to have cavities. In fact, it would be shocking if you got cavities, if you followed those steps that I shared.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. That's such good information. And like you said, the simple things, the little things, and taking just a little bit of time to wipe the baby's teeth down and making sure everything is good to go. No juice in the bottles, even diluted. There's so many just little things to think about here. And so this has been so great. This has been amazing to hear and listen to a dentist and what that looks like for you in working with young children. And all the information that you've shared has really enlightened me, even through this conversation. And I really do appreciate your time and dedication that you have given us today. And also, I want to let everyone know that we've created a tips and resources sheet for you all, filled with expert advice to assist you maintaining your child's dental health. And whenever you have any questions regarding your child's dental well-being, please don't hesitate to reach out to your home visitor, who can definitely provide you with extra support. And so don't hesitate in asking questions if you have those questions about your child's teeth, your baby's teeth. We hope you all will join us for our upcoming podcast titled Daily Care of Body and Mind, hosted by the UNM Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Conversations. Take care and stay well.
Bye-bye.